Welcome to CounselorAudioSource.net. Counselor Audio Source is a weekly podcast dedicated to the professional enhancement of practicing counselors, supervisors, and counselor educators. Look for us on the web at CounselorAudioSource.net.
I'm Dr. Marty Gentius, and this week on Counselor Audio Source, contributing editor Rachel Hoffman speaks with Dr. Cynthia Osborne, both from Kent State University, about professional counselor identity.
Hi, this is Rachel Hoffman, and I'm here with Dr. Cynthia Osborne. We're both from Kent State University, and we're here to talk a little bit about professional identity as it relates to the profession of counseling. Dr. Osborne, thank you for taking time to talk with me today.
Oh, you're welcome. It's good to be able to sit down and talk with you, Rachel.
I guess I'd like to start a little bit and have you provide some of your background and just, a brief history of how you came to be in the profession of counseling. And then we can start talking a little bit about what that means in terms of identity.
Oh, okay. Well, let's see. I guess maybe thinking about being in a service profession or a profession that is invested in helping people, I have to think about my parents. My parents were missionaries overseas in the Philippines, and so my brother and I were born there in the Philippines, and so they provided to me a model of service to other people, in a sense, some kind of sacrificing a lot to be able to be of service to persons. And in, I guess in a related way, I followed in their stead. I attended seminary and did become a pastor in a Protestant denomination and served as an associate pastor for several years, and then made the decision to pursue a doctoral degree in counseling because I learned that I didn't have the sufficient skills, counseling skills, if you will, in working with parishioners, and I also wanted to be able to teach, serve in a teaching capacity. So I guess that was my route to the counseling profession.
That's just so interesting to hear how you've evolved in your own life and how that has certainly impacted your development as a counselor, I'm sure, and as a counselor educator. And I guess having known you for some time now and having known of your service to counseling a little bit before I even knew you personally, I have appreciated just how dedicated to our profession you have been. And, currently serving as president of Chi Sigma Iota International and just being involved in so many leadership endeavors in our profession has made me, has really been important, I guess, to my own development as a counselor to see you as a leader in the profession. And again, the purpose of us being here today is to talk about professional identity. How would you define professional identity?
Well, I guess I would think that professional identity is one's chosen or one's preferred affiliation with a particular discipline, a particular profession. So in our case, that would be a decision, a desire to be affiliated with a counseling profession. Also, I think involves how I want to be known, what my professional role is. And so I think that implies a sense of pride, pride in who I am as a professional. I love words, and the word pride has its derivation, if you will, or comes from the Latin word to mean beneficial, or advantageous, to be useful. So I think of having a sense of pride in my professional identity means that I'm committed to being useful to my profession, or I'm committed to, or I'm investing in my profession. So I think that that pride has a lot to do with, if you will, professional identity.
I think that's an excellent way to put it. not only advocating for our profession, but also just being very proud of what we do and mm-hmm. Being proud of what it means to be a counselor mm-hmm. and what it means to help others in a time of need. Certainly, it's something to be proud of.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Why do you think, in terms of our profession, that having a strong professional identity might be important?
Well, I guess in many ways that identity would define what our values are, what our philosophies are as members of a profession. So in many ways, I think identity helps to keep us centered as individual professionals, as well as centered or maybe the word cohesive too as a profession itself. So I think identity, professional identity, keeps us, if you will, connected to one another, and also identity keeps us connected to the values or the philosophies or beliefs that are important to us.
So I guess that goes along with maybe another question. Why should counseling professionals, maybe not those necessarily that are involved in academia, but might be in the trenches, so to speak, why would it be important for them to adhere to a strong professional identity?
Yeah, and you know, I don't know if I would use the word adhere, because I guess when I hear that, that makes me think that there's a set identity that person's need to. I mean, in some ways, it kind of sounds like ethical standards. You know, adhering to ethical standards, and I see professional identity as something that certainly evolves, that is not fixed or set. But in terms of the importance of maybe maintaining or cultivating professional identity, I think that means that or implies that we have some idea about what it is, who we are as counselors first, and what it is we're doing, and also has some implications for how we interact with other professionals. So think of the counselor practitioner. How does she, he or she, interact then, say, on a multidisciplinary treatment team? How does the counselor's training, how might that formal training in a counseling program impact how he or she interacts with other professionals for the sake or the benefit of a shared client? How might that, my own training, my own values or philosophies as a counselor, how might that impact diagnostic decisions, treatment decisions made, say within a team atmosphere? What recommendations then would I make for the care of that particular client? That's one thing I can think of.
Okay. When you were speaking of that, it kind of made me think of something in terms of in my experience that I've come across, and this is sort of all the different titles that go along with a counselor. I'm thinking of some people refer to themselves as a mental health counselor. Mm-hmm. Some people call themselves a therapist. Others call themselves, a child and adolescent counselor. Mm-hmm. It almost becomes an issue because counselor tends to be a generic term, camp counselor, that we almost feel like we need to describe more what we do.
Mm.
What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, it's kind of tricky, I guess. I guess the term that I prefer is professional counselor, which then may, well, certainly identifies someone as maybe having some formal training in profession of counseling, as opposed to one example you gave being a camp counselor. And I'd like to think that as professional counselors, that we do have a shared training base, certainly shared ethical standards or perspectives. At times the adjectives or the modifiers that come before counselors at times might imply some divisiveness or lack of cohesion within our profession. And some might refer to that as, well, that's a specialization. And but I'd like to think of the professional counseling as being the my, if you will, umbrella identity, and that there are certainly within my counseling profession that there are areas that I'm interested in, say substance abuse, but I would refer to myself as a professional counselor in general. I don't know if that,
yeah, that
speaks
makes sense
to your question.
And I think from, again, my experience, I think that tends to be the way that it goes.
Mm-hmm.
With our licensure here in Ohio being mm-hmm. a professional counselor licensure, I think that people do tend to refer to themselves as a professional counselor,
mm-hmm.
but then might identify their areas of specialty or things of that nature.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I guess there probably is a balance
between
the two.
And I guess I would say that, you know, certainly school here in Ohio, our school counselor licensure law is separate from our professional counselor, professional clinical counselor law, but I would view all of us as being professional counselors in terms of our training and our licenses as counselors.
Certainly the services that we provide.
Mm-hmm, correct.
Well, for counseling professionals that want to maybe develop a stronger counseling identity or that want to maybe increase their professional identity, how might they go about doing that?
Yeah, I guess the first thing I would say would be to spend time with other counselors. I think it's, you know, who we choose to collaborate with, work with, spend time with, converse with. I think that certainly has an impact on our identity as counselors. I also think it's very important for counselors, maybe newer persons coming into the profession as well, to learn more about the history of our profession, our counseling profession. And so that may mean interacting with and learning from seasoned counselors, reading about our history as a counseling profession, learning from those, say, who fought the good fight of obtaining counselor licensure law within their respective state, those maybe who helped write the first KCREP accreditation standards, those who saw the need for a national counselor registry, that person who saw the need for an honor society devoted to exclusively counselors. So learning who the persons, if you will, who have come before us and made it possible for us to be doing what we're doing today and being able to identify ourselves as professional counselors. I guess another piece, too, that's important, it's been important to me, is being able to reflect on how the profession and those within it have contributed to my own professional growth. Well, professional growth, but also growth as a person, too. And so I think that developing a counselor identity has something to do with reflecting on and being grateful for what's been invested in me, say, you know, former professors, those who have served as mentors, supervisors, leaders within a professional association like a state association. Certainly also authors, persons that I've read in the literature, and their recommendations, their assistance, and how that has impacted and benefited my own growth and my own identity. And so I think that that time of reflection mixed with a sense of gratitude too would assist in developing or cultivating, enhancing one's professional identity.
Okay, good. In terms of your role as a counselor educator, what might be some of the ways that you instill the need or I guess the desire for them, your students, to adhere or to subscribe to a professional identity
mm-hmm.
in counseling?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, certainly becoming members of state and national counseling associations, going to professional conferences. So, you know, as I mentioned, giving them an opportunity to spend time with other counselors and counselors that they might not normally spend time with or have the opportunity to spend time with. So finding out who the other persons are who also share this identity as counselor. Probably also, well, as a member of a profession, a professional association, making use of the literature that is published by that association, say, like Counseling Today or certain newsletters from, state counseling associations, and being mindful of what some of the issues, what some of the topics are, and how that those issues or topics will likely impact my work and possibly my identity as a counselor, and that, you know, I'm a part of this, for students to begin to realize over time, I'm a part of this discussion. This has something to do with me as a professional. And so, yeah, I guess that's something I still am challenged by is how to cultivate that enthusiasm for this identity of counselor, and how do I see myself as being able to contribute to that. And I know the one thing that I can do is to continue to convey how I continue to benefit, you know, how I've benefited, what I'm grateful for in terms of being a counselor. Maybe that sounds something like a testimonial, but conveying to others what's been helpful to me in being a counselor and what I'm proud of in being a counselor.
So maybe, in a sense, fostering a mentoring type relationship.
Oh, that's sure. Mm-hmm. Sure. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Do you find it difficult to impress upon students? You spoke about issues that face our profession and legislative issues, things of that nature. Do you find it difficult to impress upon students how real some of these, I don't want to say threats, but how real some of these concerns are to our profession at times?
Mm-hmm. Sure, and it may be that students, may think, well, this still isn't about me, mm-hmm. Not being able to see how these topics or issues affect them, which, you know, is part of, developmental path, if you will. So engaging in class discussions, raising questions, not that there are certainly any answers, but providing students with the opportunity to engage in conversation that, yeah, they do have a voice, there aren't necessarily answers that are out there for them to find. And so, yeah, they're a part of the conversation in terms of how do we go about, and we, so not they, counselors out there, how do we as counselors go about addressing some of these challenges?
You also spoke about service, and how do you feel that service has impacted you personally in terms of your identity?
Well, it's impacted me greatly. It's provided me an opportunity to interact with persons in the profession that I respect greatly, be able to continue to learn from them. Certainly one prime example is Dr. Tom Sweeney, who's not only the executive director of Chi Sigma Iota International, but the founder of Chi Sigma Iota. And so being able to work with him closely this year in my presidential year, I'm able to learn more about his style of leadership, which continues to impress me, and also his continued commitment to the profession and learning more about what this vision was that he had back in the early 1980s of Chi Sigma Iota and what that vision continues to be for him today. So that service, being able to serve, is for me being able to learn from other people, and also in what ways I can to be helpful to other persons. And assist maybe other persons in, as you mentioned earlier, in terms of students being able to assist persons in maybe knowing what questions to ask, and how might others then be able to participate in service too.
So just encouraging these dialogues between students, between other professionals, that really put forth this need to really just, I guess you summed it up best when you said just be proud of what we do, mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. Be proud of the services that we provide. Really seems like it's so basic, but it just makes so much sense, I think.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, that pride is something that certainly develops over time and changes too, you know, what exactly or what aspects of whom I am or the work I do as a counselor, what I'm proud of. I mean, that certainly changes. But I think, you know, similar to, you know, other ways that we identify ourselves, you know, in our personal life, you know, I'm, you know, in terms of, say, being a, you know, a partner in a relationship, being proud of that, or being a member of a, you know, family, being proud of that. You know, what continues to cultivate that, and what I'm proud of may continue to evolve as I learn more about what that means to have that affiliation.
I mean, I would definitely agree with you. In the short time that I've been in this profession, I'm very proud to be a part of it. And you mentioned Dr. Sweeney, and I feel like in terms of my own development, Chi Sigma Iota was instrumental as a master's student to have the opportunity to attend events like CSID mm-hmm. Day at ACA and to interact with leaders in the profession and to really see that, wow, this is, you know, something that I really should be proud of because there's so many great people that are part of our profession. And you mentioned just immersing yourself in the literature and reading some authors that you really can just be proud to say, wow, look at the research that they've done in our profession.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. Well, and I appreciate your thoughts too. I mean, knowing that you were a fellow for Chi Sigma Iota a couple years ago, and now you're president-elect of our Kappa Sigma Upsilon chapter of Chi Sigma Iota here at Kent State University, and your role now is being the editorial assistant for counselor education supervision. You've certainly immersed yourself in service and learning, you know, learning what it means, if you will, to be a part of an association, a counseling association.
I agree. I would agree with you that it's definitely developmental in nature. And as I look at my journey from a master's student to being a doctoral student now, it's definitely been a journey, but one that I've appreciated very much.
Well, that's good to hear.
I can't wait to see where it goes next. I would like to touch on your involvement now as co-editor with Dr. West of Counselor Education and Supervision. What has that experience been like for you in terms of your development, again, as a counselor, as a counselor educator, to now have such an important role in, I guess, in the development of the flagship journal of counselor education and supervision?
Yeah. It certainly is a privilege, and I appreciate very much working with John in this co-editing capacity and learning from him as we work together. But yes, it's certainly very humbling, if you will, to be able to be a part of making decisions as to scholarship that will be published in this particular journal, and what does this, the decisions that we make, what does that reflect about the profession at this particular time, specifically, you know, counselor education and supervision. Mm-hmm. And what is, how does the published work at this time, how does that reflect who we are as an association, counselor education and supervision, at this particular time in our history? So it certainly is very, very humbling. It's work that I have found to be very rewarding, be working directly with authors, be working with reviewers on our editorial board, and, you know, in conversation, say by email or on the telephone, talking about topics that are of interest and you know, potential or prospective authors who call and say, I've got this idea, what do you think about that? Talking with them on the phone about how they might be able to develop that. That's certainly rewarding to me. And assisting persons in their own writing and in the process learning too about my own writing and my own scholarship has been very beneficial.
It sounds like you've appreciated the opportunity to help writers that want to get published mm-hmm. in counselor education and supervision, but you've also learned something from mm-hmm. the authors mm-hmm. that have
certainly
gotten published.
Have. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a great way to, you know, reading the manuscripts that are submitted. It's a great way to stay in touch with some of the, if you will, the pulse of counselor educators and supervisors who have some things that are important to say. So I've enjoyed it very much.
Well, I guess in closing, if you could maybe identify a couple things, two or three things that you really think are the hallmarks of professional identity, or that you really believe to be at the core, if you will, of what it means to, I guess, be a counselor.
Mm-hmm. No, that's a good question. It's a difficult one. I guess I would think that notion of is it beneficence? How can I be helpful? Counselors, how can I be helpful to others, namely clients? How can I be of service to clients? I think also too the thought about how can I collaborate with others, and thinking of clients, how can I make use of resources, capacity, strengths that the clients bring with them in this in a helping process or a change process? That, you know, I don't have the answers. I'm not here to tell you what to do, but let me hear from you. What's going well? What has gone well? And my role then is to be able to hear that, but then in a positive way, kind of amplify or a positive way, kind of exploit those strengths and resources that you bring. And maybe in that way, that's how I'm providing some being helpful or being useful to the other person or other persons.
Okay. I mean, I think that's a really nice way to close, and again, just sort of reinforces why we do what we do as mm-hmm. counselors and mm-hmm. why it's important to advocate for what we do.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me today.
Well, thank you, Rachel. This has been fun to be able to sit down and talk about things that I know that both of us have some interest in and are certainly dedicated to.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks, Rachel.
You've just heard an interview of Dr. Cynthia Osborne from Kent State University by contributing editor Rachel Hoffman regarding professional identity development. Look for previous podcasts, show notes, and listener feedback on the podcast website at counselorautosource.net. Listeners can leave comments or questions for our interview guests or hosts through our Skype.com internet telephone ID, Counselor Audio Source, or by calling 330-871-4242. Counseling techniques and interventions discussed in the Counselor Audio Source broadcast are meant for use by counseling professionals, and Counselor Audio Source is not held liable for any use of the techniques mentioned in the program. Our music bed today is Memorial Day from Jamie Beauchamp. His and other PodSafe music can be found in the PodSafe Music Network at podshow.com. Counselor Audio Source is licensed under the Creative Commons, a nonprofit organization offering a flexible copyright for creative work.